Welcome to the Stats Modeling the World Instructors Podcasts. 10 points in under 10 minutes. We hope you find them helpful. Hi, Paul Velleman here, talking about Chapter 22. Armed with a basic understanding of confidence intervals and hypothesis tests, we turn in Chapter 22 to inference for the difference between two proportions. Here are 10 points to consider. 1. We've been working with proportions for 3 chapters now. Students can create and interpret a confidence interval and understand the reasoning involved in testing hypotheses. The approach, logic, and interpretations are the same when comparing two proportions, so this is a great chance to reinforce those ideas. Only the standard deviation changes, and that's not hard to find once students know that for the difference of independent random variables, variances add. This allows us to create a confidence interval for the difference of two proportions. Add one more idea, pooling samples to better estimate the population proportion, and we can test hypotheses. 2. Be careful. Using proper notation becomes even more vital now that there are two groups. Insist that students clearly identify what their notation means. As always, they need to be clear about the difference between the population parameters, the p's, and the sample proportions, the p-hats. But now they also need well-defined subscripts to distinguish between the two groups. 3. Start with a hypothesis testing example in which the difference in proportions is statistically significant, such as the stop smoking experiment described in the resource guide. You don't even need to suggest you're now going to do something new and different. It really isn't. Let students formulate hypotheses and check conditions. They'll mostly know what to do. Throughout the entire process, you can point out to them that it's really all the same stuff, proving that once they understand the concepts and the process of inference, they can handle new situations with just a bit of careful thought. 4. We wonder if the true proportions are the same in the two populations our groups represent. As always, the null hypothesis means nothing's afoot. In other words, the two proportions are really the same, and any difference that showed up in the samples can be explained by sampling error. Students will probably propose that you make the null hypothesis about equal proportions, p1 equals p2, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's a good idea to mention the alternative way of saying no difference, which is that p1 minus p2 equals 0. This will be important when we need to find a standard deviation of the sampling model for the difference in the two proportions. 5. It can work well in class to let students list the conditions. They know them already. But now they need to check for both groups, randomness, enough successes and failures. Later, when the need to add variances arise, they'll see that the two groups must also be independent. You can return to the list of conditions and add that assumption then. 6. Let the students proceed with the mechanics just as they usually would. Write down the observed statistics, draw the normal curve, shade the region representing the p-value, and start to find z. The numerator is easy. The observed difference in sample proportions minus the hypothesized difference of 0. The denominator represents the first place they'll hesitate. We'll need the standard deviation of the difference of two sample proportions. One of your students is likely to remember the Pythagorean theorem of statistics from Chapter 16. Adding the variances of the individual sample proportions leads to the formula you need in the denominator. 7. Remind students that the Pythagorean theorem of statistics allows us to add variances only when random variables are independent, and that means we must add the independent groups assumption to the list of conditions. Emphasizing this point now will pave the way to understanding the difference between two sample and matched pair procedures when we deal with inference for means in chapters 24 and 25. 8. The other new wrinkle here is pooling. Our formula for the standard deviation of the difference of two independent proportions requires that we know both population proportions, P1 and P2. We don't. Students will suggest that we simply find a standard error by substituting our best sample-based estimates, P1 hat and P2 hat. That's a great idea. It shows that they've caught on to our basic tactics. But here, our null hypothesis is that there's no difference in the two population proportions. So we're currently operating under the assumption that P1 equals P2. This implies that there's one common population proportion, we could call it P, and that's the value we should be substituting for both P1 and P2. We don't know this magical value of P, so we need to come up with the best possible estimate. Perhaps with some mild guidance, Someone will suggest using the total number of successes and the total number of trials in both samples lumped together. That's called pooling. 9. After we decide that the difference was significant and state our conclusion in context, we naturally ask how big that difference might be. That calls for a confidence interval. We've already checked the conditions. The interval is, as always, an estimate plus or minus a margin of error. Here, that's the observed difference in proportions plus or minus 1.96 times the standard error of the difference. We already developed the formula for that standard error, but because we now believe proportions P1 and P2 are different, we should use the two different estimates, P1 hat and P2 hat, to find the standard error. In other words, everyone out of the pool. 10. A short explanation to clarify the pooling issue should make sense. When finding a confidence interval for the difference, there's an assumption that the two proportions could well be different, so we use different estimates. We don't pool. When testing the hypothesis that the two proportions are equal, we pretend they are, so we use the same value, the pooled estimate, for each. When we assume from the null hypothesis that the two proportions are equal, we should use that information. Thank you very much. This concludes our discussion. We hope you find it helpful.